You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul at Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, Jennifer.
Hi.
Yeah, John again is busy.
Yes. Oh, so he says. I'm starting to think he's just blowing us off.
Yeah, no, never, John. John is the four square man. He would never. He would,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, like you say, his time's getting short, not renewing his contract, so they're just L working him to death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy news. Oh, actually, first, you know, what's going on with your detox diet? last week, if you didn't tune in last week,
yeah,
or you didn't download in last week, Jennifer, you are doing some strange detox.
I was.
My
coworkers, we all went in together. We were gonna do this big detox, and I lasted 3 days.
Oh,
which,
okay.
I'm not one to often miss a meal, so 3 days without food, I thought was a pretty good effort.
All right.
But it was this thing, like, your tongue was supposed to turn white, and then when it turns pink again, then you're done. And my tongue wasn't really turning white, and theirs were. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do this for, like, 30 or 40 days, like, yeah, apparently some people do, because I'm not insane.
Right.
And so I lost 100,000 won.
Oh, my God.
But I did. I have not had any sugar or caffeine since. I'm drinking a tea here, which probably has some caffeine in it. But
okay.
I usually am, like, walking home, and my natural thing to do is maybe I'll get some ice cream. And then I have to, like, talk myself out of it. It's really hard. But actually, this whole week, I have not wanted any junk food. All I've eaten is fresh fruits and vegetables since last week. So.
So you are not technically the master of your domain.
I am not. Right. I have a lot to learn, apparently, to become a master.
$100 on the dresser. Jerry, I'm out.
Yep.
Little Seinfeld reference.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Sorry.
No, we made the same reference.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
But some of the kids I work with are too young, so I'll call them kids, and they didn't get it.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's bizarre, isn't it? When now you're working with human beings, and
yeah.
And there's some references they just don't get. I think I remember on my teacher message board or someplace, I made a reference to James G. Watt. Reagan's old minister, or sorry, Secretary of the Interior.
Well, see, no, that's just not fair, because, like, I remember Reagan, but, you know.
Remember, he was the guy who was like, oh, we've got them all. We've got a Jew, two blacks, and a cripple. Remember that guy?
No, but it sounds like someone that would work with Reagan.
All right, yeah. He was trying to sort of imply, you know, he's got a really ethnically
diverse
group, but and then he was also the one who banned, he banned the Beach Boys from playing the July 4 concert in Washington, D.C., because he didn't believe they were wholesome. He wanted,
the Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys. He wanted Wayne Newton or somebody to play. So
so only a lounge lizard is wholesome enough for him.
I believe, yeah, which is like, it's like, you know, the president is a California dude, and he's saying, you know, the Beach Boys are not wholesome. So Reagan is, I think Reagan basically turfed him after that. It's kind of like, you're a liability, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if the Beach Boys have ever played the Washington ever again, ever since that slight, yeah. A little history lesson for
you. Wait, was that a Washington show or actually a White House show?
No, you know, just like the July 4 festivities in Washington, D.C. You know, the mall,
yeah.
You know, whatever. I've been a billion years since I've been to Washington. I was there There wasn't even a Vietnam War memorial last time I was in Washington.
Wow. I still have not been.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Your nation's capital?
I know, but there's so many places to see because our nation has so many interesting things to see.
That's true. Have you been to Ottawa, Canada's capital?
I have. Actually, when I lived in Tacoma, okay. I never made it to Canada. Okay. I am very ashamed to say.
Did it even go to Ghent or Newfoundland?
Well, no, because like every Monday, I would say, this weekend, I'm going to drive up to Victoria.
All right.
And then every Friday, I'd be like, maybe next weekend.
You know, I can't say that I actually stopped in Tacoma, but I have driven through Tacoma quickly. And
it's not far.
No, it's not from Seattle. But my happy news is Timothy's Coffee is coming to Korea, Seoul, COEX, outside of the COEX. Now, Canadians don't get excited thinking that I'm talking Tim Hortons, which sometimes they refer to as Tim's. But I'm talking Timothy's.
Is this his sophisticated brand?
It's kind of like the Canadian Starbucks.
Okay. I thought Tim Hortons is a Canadian Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Tim Hortons is a Canadian Dunkin' Donuts.
See, if you would just, like, use our brands, then I wouldn't get confused.
Well, that's true. Well, Tim Hortons is owned by Wendy's International or whatever, so it is...
So you just pretend it's Canadian.
Yeah, it is your brand, actually. But, should every American die and you inherit all the property, it is yours. But, Timothy's World Coffee. They're one of the few coffee chains left that sell flavored coffee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like brew flavored coffee. You know, Irish cream, noisettes, chocolate raspberry. But the reason I'm excited is because the Timothy's I used to go to in Toronto, it was my first Betty.
It was your first?
My first Betty.
What is that?
Well, a Betty is a person at the coffee shop you go to regularly that...
Gotcha.
Knows your order and gets your order, and you don't even have to use any language whatsoever. It's just there for you, ready.
Yeah.
You know, they see you coming and they get it ready and it's there.
See, that's my tip that I'm going there too often. If I walk in and they're like, oh, got it.
I know. Well, you know, it makes me feel alive, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, sad as it is.
But see, the only place that ever happens to me is like places like, I don't know, place where you can get like junk food or something, and they'd be like, ooh, I've got your ice cream ready, or you know, maybe I don't need that much ice cream.
You know, but I find in Korea that you get a Betty just like that.
Well, yeah, because you're the crazy foreigner.
Exactly. You're the weird white dude that tries to order an extremely bad Korean.
I would get really impressed the Subway, which sadly is no longer with us at Sunae Station.
Subway sandwich.
Sandwiches, yes. I would go there, and it wouldn't matter, you know, 5-6 months since my last visit, I would walk in, and she'd be like, right, you like this on it and not this, and you want the horseradish sauce instead of the mayonnaise and mustard, and I'm like, lady, you rock. Like, how many sandwiches do you make a day? Much less in the last 6 months since I've been here.
And there's a hamburger restaurant chain in Canada called Harvey's. And see, you know, you get the hamburger and then they put the toppings on you want. And there's a whole bunch of toppings, all right. And I always felt it was much easier than always going ketchup, mustard, mayo, lettuce, you know, pickles. Yeah. I just go everything except hot peppers, right? So everything. So all they have to remember is everything and then X off. Hot peppers. You think that would make it easy, right?
How often did you only get hot peppers?
They would look at you like you were speaking Mandarin Chinese to them or something like that. They could not figure out what you really wanted. Why would he say everything except one thing? You know what I mean? But Timothy's Coffee is a coming. I've got a little picture too. So.
You got a picture of the coffee shop.
I was very excited. Well, I mean, it's just they got the hoarding up right now, but.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I don't know. All right. Oh gosh, I guess we got to do our snack of the week, right?
Okay.
What was our snack of the week song? Let's all go to Korea.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry. I love singing.
My memory is like 12 seconds long. You can't ask me stuff from last week.
I love singing to my students because they hate it so much. It's like such awful, awful torture. And they're just like...
You know, I do find the things that my students hate sort of give me pleasure.
Really? Well, I love singing Journey songs. You know, Steve Perry. I love singing Journey songs. It was nothing but a small town boy growing up in a lonely world. Yeah. Did I even get the lyrics close on that?
I think so. Man, that'll get them to sit down and shut up and say, teacher, study!
All right. This is actually, speaking of your little students, this is kind of a snack that the kids seem to really be into these days.
Yeah. That's been popular for years.
Oh, really?
That was popular when I first came to Korea.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
When you couldn't get, like, Twix and Snickers and all the Western stuff.
Okay.
If you wanted chocolate, you had to settle for your chocolate mushrooms.
Oh, really? So this is actually a little bit of a classic. Because I was worried that maybe it might go away by the time people come here, you know, our listeners sort of actually come here, they might not find it on the shelves anymore. But choco, I bet you that means chocolate.
Yes.
Choco songi. Does that mean mushroom?
Songi. Crap. Busseot is mushroom, but songi is, I mean, it's got to be just another word for mushroom.
Maybe.
But I know I've seen it on menus.
Songi.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
So, and it looks only like a mushroom. There's nothing else it resembles.
Yeah, on the package, it's little chocolate mushrooms. Yep. But what I love about it, and anything that's like, you know, has like strange mushrooms and some wild-eyed, demented creature that is obviously...
You gotta have the character.
Yeah, that has been consuming the mushrooms, yep. And now is like, his eyes are all big.
But if you look at the little guy, he's learned English by eating it, apparently, because it says fun, fun.
Oh, right, yes, fun, fun. That's
so it has magical properties.
Yeah.
Good for the kids.
There was this, what candy a long time ago called? Oh, it's still out there, but it's a Chinese candy called White Rabbit. It's like some sort of rice candy. I mean, duh, rice. You know, but and it was like, the package had this...
like Jefferson Starship approved.
Exactly, yes, exactly. It was like this gigantic mushroom, and there's this crazy white rabbit with these red eyes that's like giant rabbit. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Ever since then, I've just been fascinated by mushroom-themed snacks.
That is awesome. Man, I wish they still made that. I would love to see that.
With wild-eyed characters on it. I know. Actually, let me take a picture of this before I totally destroy the package.
That's going to be an awesome picture.
Jennifer, can you open it?
I will do the honors.
You know I'm incapable of those things. But it's kind of just like a little cookie. It's really like a cookie snack.
Yeah, it's sort of like an animal cracker.
Yeah.
With a chocolate dipped on one end.
Wow. All right. Oh, let me take another picture of it unpackaged. Yeah, it's a chocolate mushroom. No, really, it's just it's like a hockey stick, but like mushroom shape.
Well, yeah, like a little miniature, like a 1-inch long pepero.
Right.
With a big bulb of chocolate on the end. And the chocolate is sort of your usual, let's call it fundraiser chocolate. not Godiva.
All right.
Or anything that you'd normally find in, you know, your nicer department stores.
The chocolate they would make... hollow chocolate Easter bunnies out of.
Yes.
Right, that level of chocolate.
That.
Yeah. Not the higher quality solid chocolate Easter bunnies,
right.
But like the really ghetto hollow ones.
Right.
But at least those had the sugar eyes, the hollow ones.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of compensation there. That was all. That was all.
You know what? Also, it's kind of like, do you remember chocolate footballs? Which were also like an Easter sort of, can't afford the nice stuff, so you'll get this.
No.
Yeah, I think it was like to make up for people who couldn't afford to put like chocolate kisses in the basket, chocolate footballs, and yes, same sort of chocolatey taste.
You can get the Hershey's kisses here.
Yeah, you can, and it's sad to say Hershey's tastes much better than this, because Hershey's is not really one of your finer chocolates in the world market.
Just gonna warn you when we finish this little segment, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get some water, and try and figure out which side of my little sweater I spilled the whole thing of soy sauce on. when we come back,
okay.
I'll get some water. All right, and we are back. So, Jennifer, what did you notice anything about my sweater? Was it really obvious? Actually,
if you had not pointed it out,
really?
I wouldn't really have noticed it so much. But I will say the lighting is not, it's not like outside lighting.
Yeah, out in the sun, it's quite obvious I had it, some sort of accident. But in the darker, more poorly lit areas, it's not quite so obvious, which is a real bitch because it's really nice out today. It's a sunny kind of day. You want to go walking around.
It really is a nice day. I feel sort of bad. I was a little bit late getting here because the day sort of got away from me because I was bumming around in my apartment doing nothing.
Well, for lunch, I thought it would be a good idea to go to a Lotte department store, get a Wang Mandu, and sort of one of those big dumplings full of mystery meat and vegetables, and then they get the little soy sauce packet and then go outside on the patio. This is sort of the main downtown Lotte department store right next to Lotte Hotel. They've got this nice little, I don't know.
Right, so like a high traffic area.
Yeah.
Because you want that when you're spilling stuff all over yourself.
Yeah, so that I'm like, I about to put, you know how well I open things. So, you know, I don't
those
have...
Those packets are like some sort of test of your will to have soy sauce. Yeah.
Long story short, the entire contents went all over my little sweater thing.
Sparkling white.
Yeah. But fortunately, I had like three packets of the soju wet, mulhyuji. Not the vagina wet. I can no longer find the vagina wet. I'm so upset. But this is kind of a white sweater, right?
It is super white.
Yeah. And you know what color soy sauce is? Yeah. So imagine soy sauce on white. So that soju wet really did an excellent job of really getting most of it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it did an amazing job.
Yeah. I mean, it's guy clean, right?
It is.
But it's not woman clean. Like, I mean...
Well, I had actually thought that you had washed it because Korean washing machines aren't...
They would do as good a job.
Yeah.
Just taking some wet naps.
You know, I like agitators in my washing machine.
We've actually talked about that in podcasts previous.
Yeah.
Man. But our main topic is Teacher's Day. We just got through Teacher's Day.
Yeah.
Which, Tuesday was Teacher's Day.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Which the students did not have school. So teachers can't accept bribes on Teacher's Day, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, that's very convenient, isn't it? But now it's like, they used to just take Teacher's Day off going, well, we might get bribed, so we should do the responsible thing and not educate anybody today.
Yeah.
Right. But
instead of just say no.
Yeah. But now they're kind of like, some schools are like, well, you know, maybe the kids might sort of jump in a day before. Right? You know, Teacher's Day Eve. So we better block off that day and not
educate
anybody.
What about Boxing Day? I think they needed to make it a 3-day holiday.
I think so.
And if it's 3 days, they should just bridge the whole week, you know. So really, they just should have Teacher's Week off.
They should clear the week. I know. So, but, you know, okay, at the end of the day, hey, people work here way, way too hard. Any extra day off they can shoehorn out of.
But Korean teachers, I have to say, they have long hours that they have to be there, but they don't have long teaching hours.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's just that they have to be there. Although having to go in on Saturday would just suck. But they take more field trips and have more DVD days and field days and, you know, sit on our butts and play game days than I could ever have imagined. I mean, we had one field trip a year when I was in elementary school.
Oh, right, yes.
And we never had, like, movie day or anything.
Wow.
And our field day was on a Saturday.
You know? We were in Montreal. I grew up in Montreal, Quebec. So we would, naturally, our yearly field trip was to, not the salt mines, the maple syrup.
Oh, excellent.
Not fields, the maple syrup factory forest, you know, where they tap the trees.
Well, that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah, you know, and there was at the end of the, you know, the tour of, you know, how do they make maple syrup, you know, here's the trees, and oh, the evil squirrels who eat, chew through the lines, the
damn
little
squirrels.
Hoses that go from tree to tree, yeah, you know. Kids, squirrels are not your friend. They destroy the maple syrup industry, you know, so it's okay.
So if you see a squirrel,
exactly.
Kill it.
It is okay to poison them. It is okay to poison squirrels. It is okay to, yeah. So they were really indoctrinating us in Quebec in the 70s.
See, when you said that you went to the maple tree farm, I was like, wow, like how progressive, eco, you know, environmentally friendly, and, you know, teach the kids the importance of maintaining a, you know, natural environment. You know, so it can help the industry or whatever. No.
Another aside, but it was actually Quebec, my home province. Do we have any sports teams left in Quebec? Oh, we still got the Montreal Canadiens. Go Habs. Anyways, so a big environmental movement in North America was started by the abuses of Quebec. It was, I think it was late 60s, you know, Quebec did this promotional film about, you know, Quebec taming the wilds, you know, the frozen north, and, you know, wringing out the nature's treasures, and, you know, it toured, like, conventions and stuff like that. And one of the elements in it was the baby seal hunt.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, no one ever thought that, hey, pictures of guys clubbing cute little white baby seals to death, you know, and we're touring this around North America, like, people are going to go, wow, go Quebec, you know,
yeah, really good job.
Exactly. So when people, that was the first look they ever got at that whole thing, and people were like, oh, my freaking God. And so, yeah.
They killed baby seals.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to love it when they sort of screw themselves. Like, look what we do.
I know, like they
kill cute baby animals.
Exactly. So, but at the end of the whole tour was the called sugaring off, where they sort of like, you know, they sort of burn away the water, steam away the water, reduce the maple syrup down to the, you know, to the good stuff, the, you know, the nutritious sugar, and and then you would get like. And I really hope, actually, this wasn't, you know, what they were then bottling and sending out, because they would give you, tongue depressors, and then you would, like, swirl it in the sugary syrup, and then, you know, stick it in your mouth and eat the...
And your kids, so presumably you double, triple, quadruple
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then going home on the trip, and this was, of course, before the invention of wet naps, I mean, everybody is just one sticky mass of maple syrup, sugary poop. Yeah, the trip home was never that fun.
Yeah.
I don't know why they wouldn't let us shower or something.
I toured a sugar mill in Louisiana. We grew a lot of sugar cane.
Okay.
So I toured a sugar mill not long before I came to Korea.
Oh, okay.
And I remember thinking, I hope this is not sugar that's going to be sent out, because it was literally like a huge mountain of sugar just on a warehouse floor.
Right.
And a dog would periodically come in and lick some and run back out.
Once in a while, if I have a particularly good class on a Sunday, I will take them for a field trip to Starbucks.
Wow, you are like super nice.
Yeah.
You give them treats.
Only if they're really good class, you know. So like small numbers, like and they got to be sort of boy girl balance too. If it's like just a class of girls, then I'm like, no,
yeah.
I'm not. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's like I am no Klaus Kinski. You know what I'm saying? Like, God, there's another old reference. So anyways, yeah. So. But yeah, so if it's a well-balanced class, girls and boys, and it's not kind of freaky that y'all take. Another time I did take a couple students. I took them for a field trip to Itaewon. Used bookstore where they had a bunch of used comic books. Yeah. Then we went for Mexican food and Starbucks. But it's rare. Only if the kids are really, really exceptionally good. Yeah.
about.
Have you ever taken your kids on a field trip?
No, I'm American. I worry about liability.
Yeah, well, like I say, that's always sort of impressed me how trusting the parents are. I mean, not that I would ever anything do harm the children
way. But, you know, it's a possibility.
Exactly. I mean, I would give my life to protect them.
Yeah.
Some of them. But,
Well, just when you're out on the street, like in Itaewon, that's a crowded place, and, you know, having more than one or two kids, you know, more than you have hands for them to hold.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is why I keep the low numbers, too.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, the parents know that it's like, well, you know, we know the head teacher. She knows Carl, and, you know, she trusts him. We can trust him. There's that level of trust. Yeah. But Teacher's Day, when you're not getting large cash bribes, then you do sometimes get gifts from your children. Did you get any gifts?
I did, which, since I've been at this school, like, let me just say, by far the most well-off bunch of students I've ever taught. I haven't really gotten that many gifts.
Really?
But they usually bring lots of, like, cakes and stuff for all of the staff.
Yes, okay.
Of course, this year, when the whole teaching staff was fasting, we got, like, maybe 5 or 6 dozen Krispy Kremes, which most of went to the Ajishis downstairs.
Okay, right, yes.
Which, you know, and the rest, like, went with the office staff and the cleaning lady,
Wow. Yeah, I found this year that the gifts were quite thin on the ground previous years. I just think maybe the word is going out, just thought it's no longer appropriate, you know, fear of bribes and things
well,
like that.
Actually, I kind of scored in one of my classes. One of my students gave me a pin with a little fuzzy thing on the top.
Okay.
And another student found out that she was bringing presents.
Right.
So in the usual, you know, Joneses, she brought me, this is girl number two who hears about the pin girl. She brings me a pencil case that is lacquerware. The inside is completely mother of pearl. The top is mother of pearl inlay, like a cutout design. It is the most beautiful pencil case I've ever seen, and I could not imagine actually putting a pencil in it. You know, lest I damage the finish on it. But I just thought that was so funny because she let it slip that, you know, I got this because, you know, my mom heard that, you know, she was going to get a present. And then the other present was a pin with a little fuzzy tip.
Wow. Yeah. I got really actually nothing, zero zip from my students this year, which is kind of like, I'm a little bit hurt actually, you know, because I work so hard for them. And, But one class I was kind of like jokingly kind of like, well, thank you for your Teacher's Day gift, you know. And they're like, but you didn't give us anything for Children's Day. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. All right.
Children's Day was a Saturday.
Yes. Well, I know.
No, actually, I got a couple of roses and a carnation, too.
Okay.
But I have to say, if you really want the big score on the Teacher's Day presents, you got to teach in a kindergarten. Because when I taught in a kindergarten, stressful though it was, I racked up a Teacher's Day like nobody's business.
Really?
Yeah. I just got all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
And actually, the kindergarten mothers would just periodically bring presents. I thought you might use a Body Shop gift set, you know, something like that. Like, wow, okay.
As they should, because it is extremely stressful teaching the little ones.
Yeah.
I remember one mother gave me, like, a Tiger Bomb.
I've got some.
Yeah. And I'm like, at first I'm like, oh, geez, thanks. You know, like, what am I, 80 years old? And then...
Hey, I use that stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, but I mean, I've always lived a very stress-free life and until I come to teach. And then, you know, then I'm reading the, like, what the Tiger Bomb is for, like, the symptoms, you know, headaches and, you know, and the muscle, you know, pain. And I'm just like, oh, everything her kid causes me. He was a little hellion. Oh, God. And I'm just like... Oh, okay.
Wow, usually in my experience, it's the kids that don't need to bribe you that bring the presents. The ones that, like, the parents should be paying you extra to teach, you never get anything from them.
Wow. Yeah, this kid was awful. I'm glad he moved on.
Yeah.
When one Teacher's Day, I got a couple handkerchiefs.
Oh yeah, those are always popular.
Yeah, in the Burberry knockoff style.
Yeah.
and back then I was kind of like, geez, handkerchiefs again. Like, what am I? My grandfather, like, you know, blowing my nose. But then I began to think, why not? It's environmentally friendly, you know. Yeah. Like, instead of always using Kleenex, why not a handkerchief? Yeah. So now I just always handkerchiefs. I think I even have one on me now.
Very European.
Yes, I know. Check out my handkerchief.
Oh, that was a gift.
No, I bought this.
Oh, you bought it?
Yeah, isn't it kind of cool?
Oh, that is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's I got it at the Rodin Gallery at the Samsung Building, which is like the... have you ever been to the Rodin Gallery?
No, I haven't.
Oh. You know, gallery, I guess, it implies so much, you know, as in maybe a plural of art. But the Rodin Gallery, like admission is like $2. And you're like, wow, Jesus, $2 for a museum. This is great. You know,
yeah.
What a deal. I mean, Samsung, you know, they've got money coming out of their ass. Sure, they can have a whole Rodin Gallery for $2. But it is, in fact, actually... just two pieces. You know? There's the Gates of Hell. He must have made many copies because I also saw the Gates of Hell in Tokyo, and then one of his thinkers. Again, I guess he made a lot of his thinkers, multiple copies of his thinkers.
Or maybe they're counterfeit copies.
Maybe knockoffs. I don't know.
That would be really, really, really funny.
Yeah.
If they had a museum that only had two pieces and they're both knockoffs.
Yeah. But you literally spend more time in the gift shop than you spend in the Rodin Gallery. But sometimes they have like a little side gallery where they have contemporary artists. And that's kind of funky. Sometimes they have really funky stuff there. Like one time they had a apartment, but like from the waist up. So everything was like suspended from the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, from the waist down, it was just nothing, you know, floor, you know, gaps. And that was really freaky because the room would shake, you know, because on wires, right? And then you would get really freaking dizzy as you walk through there. You know, it's like, have you ever been to a science museum where they have the room, but it's at a slight angle?
Yeah.
Right? And you go into the room and you are completely dizzy because your mind is so used to counters and everything being, you know, parallel with the ground that it's always trying to rebalance your mind for that, and you get really dizzy. So it was the same deal with that art. That was worth the $2, but yeah.
The two paintings you can see online.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds. And Jennifer, I see you've got a little notepad there.
I do. I've decided to write them down because
you've taken some notes.
My memory sucks so bad. These were both on Thursday.
Okay.
My fourth grade student, one of my fourth grade students, walked in with a shirt that on the front says Hottie Magnet.
Hottie Magnet, okay.
And on the back says Maybe Not.
Maybe Not, okay.
I thought that was interesting for a fourth grader attends international school.
All right. Is it the same one that had the "You can sit on my lap anytime, big
Actually,
boy" or something?
That was her teenage cousin.
Oh, okay.
Her teenage
cousin. All right.
Let me just say.
Yeah.
Teenage.
Right.
The Bundang, very inappropriate.
Bundang is not the Ozarks of Korea, right?
No.
Okay.
They just think they are.
Right.
And then on the same day,
okay,
I saw another one, which wasn't really, that one's not really English either. It's just sort of inappropriate for a child.
Okay.
This one is also not English in that it makes sense. I just thought that probably the wearer did not know what it was.
Okay.
And I didn't write it down at the time, so I just got the gist of it, which was, you can trust the founder of the foundries. Which sounds like something like if they had a union 4th of July picnic, maybe that would be the t-shirt that everybody got or something,
right.
You know?
Okay.
And I just thought it was like a really odd thing for this guy to have one. and I have from a body wash yesterday, hand soap that I saw yesterday. Troubled body wash.
Troubled.
Hugie brand.
Hugie. between Hugie as in tissue or Hugie as in big?
Oh, Hugie as in, like, tissue or trash.
Okay, all right.
Which I thought was really funny.
Okay. Oh, man. You know, I found a notebook. And I actually, I mailed this off, so I only have a digital scan of it. So if you want it, you can't have it.
I love notebooks here.
Yeah, I know. And it says, it's a bunch of parallel lines, but then there's these alternating red and white squares, which kind of then makes the lines not look parallel. It's an illusion. All right. So under the illusion, it says, parallel or sloping, do these horizontal lines arm?
Yes, I agree.
So it's like, we got to have an R in there, or it is. So where do we put it? At the end? Yeah, throw it at the end. Kind of. Do you find your kids do that? For some reason, they think every English sentence has to have is in it or R.
I've got a student who thinks every sentence needs a four.
A four? F-O-R.
F-O-R, okay. Yes. She thinks that is the only preposition in the entire language.
Okay.
And even if maybe she doesn't necessarily need a preposition, it'd just be a good adjective in that case.
Okay. Well, adjective, yeah. Great. Yeah. Right. I always like the articles. Like, the.
Yeah, no sentence needs an adjective, article.
Yeah. But you know, it's always like, even when you get them to say, like, you know, like, my mother, you know,
yeah.
You know my father, you know. They still think that, okay, well, it also needs the article.
Yeah.
The my mother.
Yeah.
No. No, the my is kind of the article, okay? You don't need the.
It's one or the other.
Yeah. So, but it's invariably like when it's proper to use the article, they don't use it.
Yeah.
And when it's exactly the wrong time to use the article, they mysteriously use it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Exactly.
But then in, Hyundai department store at COEX, where the Timothy's World Coffee will be going. COEX. COEX is like a mall.
COEX is a mall.
Korea's
is
mall.
An awesome mall in absence of a real American mall.
Yeah. It's actually, you know, on our YouTube, our little Go Korea YouTube collection, I did sort of some scenes from COEX Mall. You can go there
and be forever frightened away from going there if it was anything other than like 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Actually, if you go there, I've got a video that's totally unrelated to teaching. It's a video of this guy named Michael Goudeau, and he's on the Jay Leno show, and he's doing this weird candle singing. He burns his hand in tune to the Blue Danube. And if you ever listen to the Penn Radio show, he was like the co-host, and me and Michael Goudeau, we email each other from time to time, and he used to live in Taiwan, and he knows about bundegi, and he wanted me to mail him some bundegi, but I'm like, there's no chance in hell I'm ever gonna mail, even put bundegi in my shopping basket, but I'll send you some great English notebooks. So this is what the notebook I found, but about the parallel lines are, you know. But yeah, so that's
my what, hands cannot touch bugs that you eat.
Yeah, but so I don't know if you're wondering what the hell is that video doing there? What's that got to do with teaching in Korea? Absolutely nothing. But I.
Just fun.
Yeah, I just snatched it from the television and slapped it up there for the other fans of Michael Goudeau.
Yeah.
We're the Michael Goudeau army. And, but in the Hyundai department store at COEX in the basement, this big food area, as there are in all department stores.
You mean the food court?
The food court.
Okay, because they also have a foreign foods thing.
Right, yeah, this is the food court. And there's a crepe place called Le Crapo.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, okay. Le Crapo. And I think they're trying to take, like, because it's like crepes and beverages. I think they're trying to take like O from maybe water, you know, French for water, and then crepes, and then sort of putting those together. I think the C-R-A-P from crepes and the O from water, just slap them together. And so sort of like,
excellent.
Crapo. Yes. And I think I got a picture of that. I'll post up on our
Yeah, when I was in the army, crapu was our Konglish annoyed word.
Crapo?
Crapu.
A crapu. Okay.
So, crapo is the French version, I guess.
Did you catch the Stephen Colbert Rain parody on YouTube?
No.
Yeah, actually, my Stephen Colbert, my 1 degree of separation from Stephen Colbert. God, it was year 2000 when I came to Korea as a tourist. I was in the Lotte department store, and I'm walking through, and this woman stops me, and she's like, "Do you know the time?" And I give her the time, and she's Korean, and she's like, very, very American accent. She's like, "Oh, thank God, somebody who speaks English." And so I'm kind of like looking at her, like, you know, like she can see, immediately see my confusion, like, "You're Korean, but why are you, like, what's going on?" She's like, she starts to explain, "Oh, you know, I'm adopted Korean, and, you know, I'm here with my dad, and my dad's a white guy, and just here to get back to my roots and visit the, you know, orphanage and yada, yada, yada." And so, you know, we start looking at maps and, you know, where are good places to go, comparing notes as tourists. And so we start to hang out, you know, like, because we're both here for the week. So she's from, like, Minnesota. And she was really cute, you know. How old was I? I was, like, maybe early 30s then. This was 2000, so 7 years ago. So I was, like, 33. She looked like about 25. That's not a bad.
No.
Yeah. So you know, we're going for dinner, and I meet her at her hotel, and Liz is her name. And Liz is like, "Well, how old are you?" And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'm 30, 32. She's like, "Oh, you're a lot older than I thought you were." And I'm like, "Well, how old are you?" 18.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like, "Oh, okay, well."
Nice knowing you.
We're only going for dinner. You're paying for your meal. Yeah. But, she's a very, 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 very nice person, Liz. And but we've always, you know, emailed each other ever since. And now she's in medical school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she's just about to complete medical school. She wants to be a bone doctor.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, but when, like her first year of medical school, they went, the bunch of them went to New York to do like kind of like a little summer program. She went with like a whole bunch of like the sons and daughters of Minnesota farmers who are now in medical school, you know, like, yeah, really, really, you know, hick town people. And this is the first time they've ever been in a big city. And, you know, Liz has been to, like, I mean, Seoul and Paris and London. She's a very brave person, and she'll talk to anybody, including me, right? You know, so when she's there, she's in the airport, you know, and she, the baggage carousel, she looks over, Stephen Colbert standing right next to her. And this was really before he had his own show. He was just he was doing the Daily Show. So she's like, "I know you, you're Stephen Colbert." So she starts talking to him, they exchange emails. So she's there for the, you know, the summer, and she's exchanging emails with Stephen Colbert and stuff. But they all have to live together, all the med students.
Oh,
and
God.
And they all have to go everywhere together because they're afraid of New York. Oh my,
okay,
God. And then once in a while, like, Liz will disappear. And they'll be like, "Where did you go? We were so worried. You know, I just went down to Manhattan. I just went shopping. You used the subway alone? Oh, my God." You know, they're just, like, totally freaked out. Like, how can you do that?
They're from Minnesota. Aren't they all, like, 6 feet tall?
I don't know. So so Liz is just like, "Oh, God, this is getting really awful." You know, like, these people are just, like, just so hick. You know, they're frightened of everything. So anyways, so long story short, then Stephen Colbert is like, she's like, "Well, you know, I can get you some backstage passes to see a taping of The Daily Show. You know, you want to come?" And she's like, "Yeah, but, you know, I'm here with, like, 8 other people. Can you get 8 backstage passes?" And she's like, "No problem." So one day, so she just shows up. He's like, "Guys, tomorrow we're going to go see a taping of The Daily Show, backstage passes. You know, meet, you know, Stephen Colbert." And they're just, like, looking at her like, "Who are you? You know, like, you're in New York for, like, 2 days, and, you know, you're getting us backstage passes to, like, to hit the show on television. What's going on?" Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, so I just wondered, because, you know, Liz is Korean. I just wondered if that was his, you know, all his knowledge of Korea that he poured into that video. Kimchi, hyundaes, and bibimbap. That's where he got it from, maybe, hanging out with Liz. I don't know. So that's my 1 degree of separation.
Pretty cool.
Stephen Colbert.
In Korean news.
In the news. This was really, really sad news. Did you read about this?
Yes,
the mothers?
Horrible.
I know. All right. So there was And there's so many horrible things about this. And so school, and the school is about near me, even.
Yeah.
And they're having a fire drill, which, does your school have fire drills?
My hug one?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So,
never.
Yeah.
In a fire, we will all die.
Yeah. According to the article, fire drills are not mandatory for schools.
No, yeah, some of my students, I was like, we were talking about it, and the majority, by far, had never, ever done a fire drill of any kind in their life.
Yeah, yeah, which I was, like, completely blown away by.
Yeah, even when I explained what it was, they still were like, why would you do that?
I know, just because when there's a real fire, people aren't running around. Ah!
Because you're in a building that's 8 stories tall, and you can't use the escalator, and there's only one set of stairs, you know, you need to have a plan.
Yeah. So I don't know, but for some reason they decided they're going to have a fire drill at the school, right? And the idea of a fire drill is, right, you teach the kids to exit the building, not to panic, where the fire exits are, where to assemble into the, you know, in the schoolyard, yada, yada, yada. Just get them used to those things, right?
Yeah.
Right? You're not teaching them about rescue techniques, things like
right.
that. All right, so... Anyways, but for some reason, the fire department decides that they're going to put on this big show with, like, this, you know, basket rescue system.
Yeah.
Where, you know, sort of a basket at the end of a, you know, the fire ladder. And it
like
goes,
a big cherry picker kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and for another strange reason, like, the mother's turnout for the fire drill.
They were worried their kids would be scared or yeah. something along those lines,
yeah.
which made it even more horribly ironic.
I know. It's like, okay, cut the cord, okay? You know? But, yeah. So these mothers turn out for the fire drill. And they decided the mothers are going to be, you know, victims. They're going to be like, help.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
That wasn't in the paper.
Yeah. So they're as if they can't escape from the fourth floor or something. It was pretty high up. And so they bring the cherry picker up there and they start bringing mothers down, you know, 3 by 3. And according to one of the news articles, too, is they were like rocking the cherry basket, kind
yeah.
of give the mothers a little scare. You know? So,
oh, no. What I read, they had kids doing it first and the mothers
oh, okay.
were just last.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, so then one group of mothers, they get on and they start lowering the basket. Cable breaks. The basket
oh, is that
up,
what happened?
Yeah, the basket upends, dumps the mothers, and two of them fall to their death in front of the kids.
Yeah.
The kids are out in the yard, and one of the mothers is kind of hangs on for a bit, and then she drops, and she doesn't die, but she's injured, right? So it's just awful. It's like, okay, well... You know, why are you even doing that in the first place? Like,
yeah.
you know, that's a very dangerous thing to be bringing people out of a, you know, third or fourth story window with a cherry basket, you know? Like, you know, if someone's life is seriously at risk, then you want to risk that, bring
yeah.
them out, right? But if people's lives are at risk, then you don't really have to do that, right?
Yeah.
You don't, you know...
And it'd be much more useful to teach the kids how to find the proper stairwell and
exactly.
that kind of thing. Because chances are the fire department is not going to get there with 800 cherry pickers in time to get each classroom of kids out in time.
Exactly.
You know?
And if you have to show them this machine, do not be afraid of the machine. Use firefighters.
Yes.
Right? You know, getting
yeah.
in and out of the basket. Those kinds of things, right? But I don't know. But a school, when there's a fire at a school, schools are very large buildings, right?
Yeah, especially in Korea. Jesus, they have like thousands of kids in one school.
Right. And they just don't all go up like, you know, like Christmas wrapping.
They are cement.
So, I don't know. It's just sort of a really awful, awful thing. And again, just raises that whole fire safety thing here that just pisses me off. Fire drills. Which is odd. They would, you know... They would have, they used to have air raid drills.
Yeah.
You know, the North Koreans are bombing, let's do air raid drills.
That ended less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But they've, you know, they've never had fire drills. And, you know, and then they've just got this, when they finally do one, it's so half-assed and so showboating, and no one bothers to say, is the equipment safe? Should we be loading children on this? I don't know.
Yeah. And of course, their response was they suspended the fire chief.
Yeah.
Like, he's the only person responsible, you know, like... I mean, granted, at the end of the day, you know, he has the final stamp of approval
sure.
on everything,
yeah.
but you know, surely he's got underlings that are supposed to be checking and maintaining the equipment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not personally checking every spark plug or whatever, you know.
Your school, have you, you find your school particularly safe in the event of a fire?
Nope.
Yeah. Every now and then I look at the fire extinguishers in the classrooms.
Ours do get checked.
Yours actually do get checked, okay. The vast majority of my school are all in red.
Yeah. No, ours do get checked quite regularly, actually, okay. So maybe compared to your building.
Okay,
no, that's good. And the fire safety guys came through the other day and checked all of our sprinklers and our fire detectors, our smoke detectors.
You got sprinklers, do you?
Yeah.
Wow. Bundang Bundang must have some great fire code. Jeez. Yeah.
But we've got a bunch of all of the walls that are not external walls.
Okay.
Or what do you call those? Support walls.
Right. Okay.
They're all, I'm gonna say, they aspire to be sheetrock.
Okay.
Maybe something like a thick paper mache.
Okay.
So I'm sure those would be quite nice tinder.
Wow.
But we are very close to the elevator. Not the elevator, the stairwell.
Yeah.
The one.
Yeah,
so,
I know. Yeah. We've got one stairwell. But then there's like, well, there's one at the other end of the building. But then they the doors between the sides, they lock them.
Excellent.
You know, because you don't want the middle school people coming over to the grade school during their break and, you know, being little hellions and stuff. But, you know, I just think, gosh, in the event of a fire, that's, and our only exit is blocked. We're 8 floors up. Ooh, I don't know if that's the best idea. But
I like those ropes. They stick in the classes with windows. So you can crawl out the window.
Oh, we don't even have that.
We have the windows that push out.
Right, okay.
So it pushes out like a foot.
Okay. Man. But I just, but the doors, the lock doors are glass. So at least I know that I can put a desk through those doors and
watch it be like bulletproof glass or something.
But I know for a fact I'm the only person who's gonna think of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Other people would just be like beating on it, like, let us in.
I know. I should learn how to say get out of the way in Korea. Like, clear those glass doors. Yeah, because I know it's in a fire, people will just be blocking them, pounding. Like, we can pound on them, right? And that will open them, you know?
Yeah. Well, see, we can't really laugh too much, because remember when Great White had that fire?
Yes.
I think it was the Great White one. There was another fire like that week in another club.
Right.
But one of them, the reason so many people died was because the only exit doors opened in,
Yes.
and the crush of people against the door prevented them from opening the door.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So,
and I was gonna say too. I remember back, mine's worse. Well, not really worse, but it happened to me. But when I worked at a gas station,
that was just like a treasure trove of horrors, wasn't it?
Yeah, gas station. It truly was. And when I worked at a gas station, it made me a little nervous because, you know, the building next to us burned down, and the building then on the other side burned down, and then the building behind us burned down. You know, so I'm beginning to go, something's at work here, right? You know, so anyway, so one day, you know, I'm in my little booth, and wearing my brown acrylic sweater. I look so official. and then somebody's kind of cutting through the parking area, and he comes up to the booth and he's like, there's a garbage fire next door. He's like, you know, like where our garbage is, there's a fire. So I'm like, oh, that's not good. So, you know, I dial 911, and then I go out, and our garbage is on fire.
Oh my god.
So you know, I grab one of the fire extinguishers and I go put out the fire with the fire extinguisher. First time I've ever used a fire extinguisher. And that's one of the things I actually like about the fire extinguishers here, is they just put them on the floor. There's no fancy mounting system.
Yeah.
It looks half-assed, but if there's a fire, you don't got to worry about...
Right, you just need it right there.
Exactly. You don't have to worry about getting how to dismount it from the wall. Yada, yada. It's there. And so I like that. And, but so, you know, so I just get the fire extinguisher off the little brackets and put the fire out. And the fire truck people come and they hose down the garbage, yada, yada, yada. So anyway, so the next day, my boss kind of chews me out. She's like, we have to pay to get those fire extinguishers refilled. I'm like, all right. She's like, but the fire department will come and put out the fire. Okay. But I'm thinking, well, I don't know when, right?
Yeah.
And this is a gas station.
With gasoline.
Yeah, massive underground tanks of gasoline.
I've heard the gasoline burns.
So I'm just thinking, I don't know if having a big garbage fire, 20 feet away from gas pumps is the best thing to let that rage.
Right, even if they've got those little fume blocker things on them.
Exactly.
Still.
I don't know, so yeah. So it's just not here, people don't think. Even to, the number of people who would think it was okay to pump gas while smoking.
Yeah.
They sure don't. Kind of reminds me. Oh, the other thing too is that day, I was asking my kids, how are you? And one kid's like, I'm very sad today, teacher. I'm like, why are you sad? One of my students, that was his school.
He saw
the mothers boom, fall to their death. Yeah.
Are they getting counseling for those kids or anything?
I wouldn't imagine so.
Just tell them to toughen up and take it?
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it before in previous podcasts. A disturbing number of kids have probably seen a dead body at some point in their life, That day, one of the lesson things I do is what sound does X make? What sound does a duck make? What sound does, a cow make? Things like that. And one of the things I did for other classes, because kids love, the idea of one of their own falling from 8 floors to their death. That's funny to them. And so one of the things was, what sound does Jenny make falling, out the window? Jenny makes, those kind of things, right? But I'm like, oh crap, I can't do that one. Too soon.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. But, I was thinking about the, have you seen a dead body here?
I have seen two in Chunju.
Yeah.
They were both scooter drivers.
Okay.
And it was raining on both occasions.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if they were exactly dead, but they sure looked mighty dead to me.
They weren't moving.
Yeah, one was a coffee girl and one was delivery guy.
Oh, yeah. Air quotes coffee girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks like a stripper and carries coffee.
Yeah, that is a, outside of Seoul, that's some kind of prostitution scheme something, yeah.
And, very popular in my old neighborhood in Chunju.
My teacher message board, that topic popped up, and a lot of teachers here in just a very short time, like a year, have seen a dead body. I saw one guy lying, but I don't know if he was drunk or dead, but I'm thinking, I've never actually seen a dead body in the 3.5 years I've been here. And there's this,
you've just been deprived.
Well, it disturbs me because there's this rule in poker that says if you're at a table and you're looking around and you don't know who the fish is, you are the fish. So I'm just thinking, if after 3.5 years you've never seen the dead body, you may be the dead body. So I don't know. So I'm just thinking my number may come up soon. So you heard it here first, kids. I'm predicting my own death. The other news item that I kind of had to laugh at, and did I find any humor in the mother drop? The mother's falling.
I don't know, pretty humorless.
Yeah.
Sort of sadly ironic that they were there to allay their children's fears.
Yeah, but the news, they had some satellite spy photo of the North Korean nuclear reactor. And the headline's something like anti-artillery sites. And I'm like, anti-artillery? And I'm like, that nuclear reactor is probably nowhere near the border where they could line up artillery pieces. You were in the army.
They've got stuff that can go like 20 some odd miles.
Sure, but counter battery. Why would you mount counter battery pieces at the nuclear reactor site. Yeah, that just sort of caught my attention. I'm just like, well, that's a really strange thing to be put in there. Like, we're going to shoot back at the artillery shooting at our nuclear reactor. And then I read the actual article, and then it's like, they just left off aircraft.
Oh, okay.
Anti-aircraft artillery. But then I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, sure, if America decides to attack with biplanes, they got that covered, right? You know, but, like, if America's ever going to take out that nuclear reactor, there's no way in hell they're going to ever attack it with anything that an anti-aircraft artillery piece is going to shoot out of the skies. It would be cruise missiles. It would be, you know, B-2 stealth bombers. I mean, hello. You were in the army. Why would they put that there other than...
No, I don't know.
I don't know. It just kind of jumped out at me as...
Make themselves feel better.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a nuclear power plant not too far from where I grew up. And I remember their big safety public service announcement. Like, you can trust us thing. No, it must have been before Chernobyl, because I'm pretty sure I was still in high school.
All right.
It assured us that the active element was only the size of a coffee table.
Oh, only the size of a coffee table?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Wow.
So it's perfectly safe.
Yeah, because most nuclear warheads are only the size of a coffee table. So, yeah, they are indeed perfectly safe.
Yeah. Wow. That was their whole thing, that we didn't need to be afraid because of the big buildings.
Right, yeah, they're big.
The active element was only the size of a coffee table, which is, you know, fully harmless.
Wow. Yeah, to be fair, the nuclear reactors in North America, not including that Chernobyl thing, they are very, very safe.
Yeah.
But, you know, Canada, we were the ones who built the nuclear reactor for India that India then used to make their atomic bomb. We did that.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we did anything with the North Korea reactor, though.
Draw the line.
Yeah.
This week's teaching opportunity.
Coming up on summer, which means summer camp.
Woohoo, summer camp.
Yay, summer camp.
Sounds fun, but it's really another way to torture Korean kids.
I know. Because the kids, you know, they get about a month and a half off.
Yeah, 6 weeks, roughly.
Okay, all right, so yeah. But then most of the kids are just then...
shunted to study boot camps.
Exactly. It's like English camps, or, you know, they go to morning, afternoon, and evening Hagwon.
Yeah.
I just ask some of your kids sometime. It's like, what are you going to do every day in the summer? And it's like, well, I've got math Hagwon in the morning, and then I have, you know, violin Hagwon, and then I have, you know, kendo. Well, not what do they call it here? Kendo Hagwon. It's just like the whole day is completely.
Yeah,
packed.
Some of my kids will have 8 or more hours a day of Hagwon.
Yeah.
5 days a week and possibly 6.
Yeah.
You know, because your time off from school just means you have more time for studying at Hagwon.
Yeah. But they just say this with like no anger or bitterness.
No,
or
just
regret.
Resignation.
Exactly. It's just like, this is the way it's always been. So,
this is my life, and someday this too shall pass.
You're going to have those 4 glorious years in university. Again,
right.
You know, drinking, you know, like hitting
pretending
on first
to study
years.
In class. Yeah. Right, right.
And then after that. Oh, man. But so English camp. Advantage of the English camp program is one, it's not a 1-year contract.
Right.
It's basically, it's about a month and a half, 2 months. So it's good for people who don't want to commit, you know, a whole year, who maybe only want to come for the summer, earn a little bit of summer money. Downside, you don't get the E2 visa. You have something called the C4 visa. C4 explosive.
Yeah.
The C4 visa, which I believe is kind of like a temporary worker visa, and it has a very different tax rate from the E2 visa. our E2 visa, it's like 3.5, goes up, you said.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I got my tax bill this week. I got a 600,000 won tax bill.
Okay.
Because my school just takes out the minimum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Last year, all of my co-teachers got a refund, and I paid 100. This year, all of my teachers got a refund, and I paid 600.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. So I guess the silver lining is I make that much more than them, but, you know,
okay.
Cold comfort.
Yeah. But I believe the with the C4 that the tax rate's about 20%.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty big hunk. You know, the rationale being that, you know, if you're here for the year, you know, Korea is going to retain a lot of your money that you're earning. You're going to be paying sales tax and stuff like that. So, but if you're here for a very short amount of time, you're not going to be spending a lot of that money. You're going to be taking a lot of it out of the country. So obviously, they want a bigger hunk of that.
Yeah.
So yeah. So now the ad says $1,500 USD cash per 2 weeks. So $3,000 a month. Which sounds like a lot of money, but, you know, because usually we're getting about, you know, between 2 and 2.2 million won, or converted to 2,000 to, you know, 2,200 bucks a month. So it sounds like a lot of money, but then that may be gross, so you may be getting a lot taken off of tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see.
And they reimburse the airfare, which I'm always leery of.
Yeah, but actually it's crap reimbursement.
$500 during peak flying season.
Yeah, so...
Last time I flew home in the summer, because I have, like, the mandatory break times, like most Hagwons, it was $2 million, and that was before the current gas rates.
Right, yes. Yeah. You know. And let's see, camp schedule, 7:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. No idea if those are your working hours.
Yeah, they quite possibly could be. So you can earn that $1,500 because, you know, being a camp counselor, you know, you wouldn't just earn it working a regular number of hours.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Accommodations in a dormitory.
Shared.
Yeah, two people in one room. So, and then I like this. Not available for Gyopo, so Korean Americans or Asians.
Yeah. We want the whiteys and the round eyes.
Exactly. So now you're saying to yourself, Carl, Jennifer, usually you're trying to give us good jobs. You know, why you don't sound so enthusiastic about anything in this job. And but basically, yeah, I'm just trying to point out that, you know, that the summer camp jobs are probably not the best things out there.
Yeah, if you wanted to see if you liked Korea and if you could live here for a year, because honestly, the hardest part of the job is getting adjusted to Korea, because a lot of people just don't ever get adjusted to Korea. So if you wanted like a little taste of Korea to see if you could handle it here, if you wanted a full year of work here, then okay. But if you're coming here thinking that in 2 weeks you're going to make $1,500 and you can take that $1,500 home,
right,
and maybe you just graduated in the spring and then in the fall you'll start your real job search,
right? Yes.
You'll be sadly disappointed.
Yeah. And I got to remember, you do need a BA.
Yeah.
You still need a BA. So,
in order to get any work visa, you have to have at least a bachelor's.
Yes. And
since they've cut out Kyopos, nobody can come in on the F4, which is the Kyopo visa, which is their own thing, and you don't have any sort of requirements other than being a Kyopo.
Right. Yeah. And but this is down in Incheon, which a lot of the camps are actually outside, you know, out in the sticks.
Yeah.
So yeah. So if you do kind of like a bit of a, you know, urban and be able to go to clubs and stuff like that, but they may keep you there, like, you know, all day.
Well, if you're working until 10:30 at night and have to be up at 7:30.
All day.
And God knows, if it's only 2 weeks, they've probably got you working 14 days.
They do provide meals.
Yeah, well, since you don't have time to leave.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of negatives. But, I mean, you might, the upside, let's say you work, you'll work like a dog for 6 weeks, right? You've got you've got like $5,000 in your pocket, all right? Then, you know, hey, then you're in Asia, you've got cash, take some time, spend a month, tour around, you know, Korea, Japan, Thailand. That might be sort of an upside, right?
Yeah, they do have two sessions, so you could earn $3,000. But if they're only paying $500 for the airfare, I mean, that's just, they're on a crack. Like, that's hardly even a subsidy.
Yeah, so I would have to say...
So the first 2 weeks will go to the rest of your airfare.
Yeah. Look around for a better... summer camp arrangement, if that's your idea. This is kind of this is your bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
If you can find something better than this offer, then take it.
And there are tons and tons and tons of summer camps. Just the hard thing is finding one that will provide airfare because you're coming for such a short time. Exactly. Unless there's one that, I don't know, maybe the full 6 weeks or something, you might be able to find it if you're like, I don't know, beautiful and highly qualified.
Right, yeah. You know, there was this one guy, they hired a new teacher, and so the boss, you know, went to the airport to meet the new teacher, and teacher never showed up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What they're thinking what happened is, you know, it was like North America to Tokyo to Korea. So... they know he got on the plane. He just never got on the Tokyo to Korea.
Oh, no.
So, and they paid for his ticket. They sent
him
the
awesome.
Ticket. Yeah. So basically he just used...
he used them to get to Tokyo. Awesome. Strike one. One teacher against the system.
Yeah.
Because it usually well works in the other direction. Promise the world and deliver nothing.
But don't do this because you'll screw all of us.
Yeah.
I have to note that I guess immigration is no. You have to be from, you know, the English-speaking countries.
Yeah.
You have to be
seven.
Yeah. So like, you know, Canada, America, England, UK, Australia, New Zealand, etc.
South Africa.
Yeah. And South Africa too now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But previously they didn't care where your BA was from, but now your BA has to be from a university in one of those countries. It can't be like, you know, from the Philippines or Thailand, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think there would definitely be, it's not a lot of people, but there are definitely a minority of people out there who maybe, you know, they were, you know, army brats, and maybe they got their degree in Germany, or they got their degree in the Philippines, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And but the, you know, the Korea immigration won't process those visas anymore, what I've heard. And that's, again, a product of people who are, like, you know, in Thailand and getting big degrees in Thailand, and then, you know, coming to Korea to teach with a, you know, a fake degree they bought, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, again, some more bad eggs have sort of screwed it for the honest teachers out there, which is basically the way it kind of works here a lot is, you know, one bad egg and, you know, it leaves the Korean officials with some egg on their face, then they implement these draconian measures.
Yeah, which really sucks because it's obviously a minority of people that would be using fake degrees or whatever, or flying to Tokyo.
Yeah.
But they make all of the, you know, they'll make changes, but how many schools screw over their teachers? Like, probably 90%. And nothing ever changes.
Let's not scare people, but 90%.
Well, I mean, okay, by screw teachers, I am like a broad spectrum of screw.
Right.
Maybe you're living in an apartment that is smaller than your dorm room.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe your working hours are like 12 hours a day and you only get paid for like 6, but,
okay,
you know, because they've got some crazy, you know, work an hour off kind of system going. You know, I mean, there's a million ways they can get their full money's worth out of you.
Right, yeah.
But things don't change.
There's a good chance you'll encounter at least one thing that's not to your satisfaction.
Yes.
Let's say. But, yeah.
just how much to your dissatisfaction it is depends on the school.
Yeah, the school and also what you're dissatisfied by.
Yeah, the people that blacklist schools for not providing them with an oven.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of thing. All right. That's our show. Jennifer, Cotisol, anything you want to plug with Cotisol this week?
Well, we had our meeting yesterday, so our next meeting will be the third Saturday in June, which I believe is the 19th-ish.
Okay.
And the topic will be getting shy Korean students to talk. And I've seen the presenter before, and she's a great speaker and very motivating and fun to listen to.
All right.
And I would also like to plug the Korean Women's Hotline is building a women's shelter. And Cotisol is one of the Seoul chapter of Cotisol is one of the sponsors for a fundraiser they're having next Saturday night. It is 10:30 p.m. in Hongdae area at Club Ta, that's T-A, which is very near Sangsuyeok Station Exit 1, which is near the Hongik University Station. But I'm not sure what line that is. I think it's the Green Line?
Green Line, number 2, yeah.
Thank you.
Hongdae, yes.
And they'll have 3 bands and a bake sale. Ooh. Where you can get all of your oven-baked needs met. And it's 10,000 won at the door. And if you wanted some information, you could go to www.hotline.or.kr. And it's a really good cause, so I hope some people show up. I will be there, even though 10:30 is getting pretty darn close to my bedtime.
Yeah.
I'll be helping out.
So it starts at 10:30.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. Not for old folks like me.
Okay, all right.
For a good cause, I will be there.
Wow, and it's 10:30, May 26th.
Yes. Yeah,
so this will go up. This is Sunday, so next Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes, okay, all right.
Yeah. So. And the CCCK, which I'm thinking has to do something with Canada.
Yeah.
They're giving a Canada Day picnic ticket away.
All right, okay, yeah.
Or it says ticket giveaway, so hopefully it's at least a pair of tickets.
Yeah. It's the Canadian Chamber of Commerce Korea.
Gotcha.
But you if you look at that word quickly, that acronym quickly, CCCK, the second C resolves as an O.
It does.
Yeah. You have to look at that really closely because it's all in caps. Oh, it's not C-O. Oh, it's C-C-C-K. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they know that? I don't know. Ask them when you're there.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that in print? Or let's room.
You might want to use a different font.
Yeah. All right. Club T&A. The 3 bands. The Funk Ups. Man, this is all just like a lot of like little bad double entendres. Club T&A. The Funk Ups, put on by C, not O, but C, 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 K. Yeah, right. It's for a woman's shelter, you say?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else awful on this that we can spin? All right.
I like St. John the Gambler.
St. John? Oh, that's the other band. The 40 Days and St. John the Gambler. Wow.
Yeah. I have no idea what kind of music it's going to be. But if you were interested, they all have MySpace sites. The 40 Days, the Funk Ups, and St. John the Gambler.
All one word, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And any other issues we have to deal with as before we go? Oh, yeah, our email. I almost
see,
forgot.
We always lie when we say this is all. Yeah, this is all, except for the next 10 minutes.
Well, there was one person. A lot of people are like, your show's too long. But then one person was like, your show could go on longer. So, this is for you.
Yeah. The one fighting against the wave.
Yeah, I agree. I just like sitting here and talking.
Yeah.
And, but, let's see, it's from a listener named Marcus. Marcus is in America. And Marcus is a very good listener. I think he's been with us almost since the beginning. And
you rock, Marcus.
Yeah, he emails from time to time. And let's see, Marcus has a question about cell phones. So I have a question about mobile phone service in Korea. I think about getting a new phone. I don't really need a new phone right now. I have an LG Chocolate with... I always have a hard time saying this because I want to say it...
It's Verizon.
Well, I know. I always say Verizon. Verizon. Oh.
Like, but it rhymes with Horizon.
Verizon. I know, but you know, from a French background, you say, you know, Verizon. Verizon. So, remember, because I think my phone service was Verizon, and I called their customer service line, and I kept calling it Verizon. And the woman, and she had this, like, southern accent, and she's like, you know, I gotta just stop you right there. It's Verizon, okay? Like, oh, I'm sorry.
So, yeah, forgive me as I'm trying to get service.
Yeah. I mean, she's all very friendly and stuff, but she's just trying to, you know, I guess something, my bizarre little twisted French way of saying, yeah. So, but, you know, in French, we kind of put the emphasis, you know, the consonant vowel, So, versus. All right. So Verizon. All right. LG Chocolate with Verizon, but my phone isn't GSM compatible. I was reading about GSM network, which most of the world has, but in the article I was reading, it states that it should just that I should just forget about South Korea on the GSM network. What network is in South Korea, and can I use a phone I buy in the United States in South Korea? Or is there no other option but to buy or rent a new phone when I get there? All right, thanks. I love your show, Marcus. Okay, I almost know nothing about what that means. What is GSM? What's a cell phone? I don't know.
Well, I do know that people have talked about changing the chip in their phone.
Okay.
Which seems like a lot of ordeal for a phone which can be found on any street corner and about five places in between in Korea. I don't know what network it's on, but I've never heard of anyone successfully using a Korean phone in the States or vice versa.
All right.
But that said, chocolate phones I think are still pretty pricey, but if you don't need to have a chocolate phone, if you can just have a regular camera MP3 player phone, then you can get one much cheaper when you get here. And if you have a Korean help you, as in use their Korean ID number, then you can get on a plan. And I think then you can get the phone much cheaper, sort of like in the States. But they don't like to give those to foreigners unless you're like a professor or something, because they think you're a flight risk on your bill.
Ah, all right. Yeah, I know nothing about cell phones. Okay. I don't own a phone.
Oh, I have a card phone. I'm a cheapie. Oh. I hate talking on the phone.
I don't even know what card phone means.
Oh, I prepay. And so it costs me, it's $10,000 a month, and I've never run out of minutes because I hate talking on the phone, and so I don't even know how many minutes I have.
Okay.
And actually, whenever I go renew it, because I have to pay $10,000 a month, whether I use the minutes or not, but they accrue, like, the value. So I've got, like, something crazy, like, over 100,000 won of value on my phone that should I ever decide to, you know, start talking on the phone a lot, I will have available to me.
Yeah. I remember I had a cell phone in Seattle, but it was, like, prepaid, and it was just, like, I think it was, like, $15 a month and $5 a month. I forget now. It wasn't a lot, and I wouldn't even use that a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because most people I know, when I meet them, I arrange meeting over the internet. So I don't need to use ever a phone. I'm a geek, right? You know, so I don't know. So, but yeah. But the word chocolate, it's one of those, you know, chocolate. You got to say it like Eddie Murphy. You remember his band in Coming to America?
Yeah.
Sexual chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the words I always make the kids say funny. It's like chocolate, blood, and love. Oh, and downtown. The four words I make the kids say strange. So
whenever, how do you make them say blood?
Well, chocolate, I always make them say like Eddie Murphy, chocolate. And and then love, I make them say it like a love-struck cartoon bear. Love. You know, so they have to say that, you know, I love you. Because, you know, they're very flat reading voice. And then downtown, I always make them say it like Petula Clark in singing downtown. Downtown. And what was the last one?
Blood.
Oh, like sort of like, you know, like a, you know.
Like Dracula?
Like a UHF. House of Horror, you know, today on Blood Theater, you know, so Blood.
I think your class is a lot more fun than my class.
You do what it takes to just from pulling your hair out and going insane. You know, sometimes I feel like the, my people, the Nazis, Dr. Mengele, was his name, first name Carl? I don't know.
I believe it was.
Dr. Carl Joseph Mengele. I don't know. My middle name's Joseph. I'm sure he has at least one of the names I have. Dr. Mengele. You know, he used to, one of the things he would do is he would put people in an air pressure room and then remove the pressure. And, you know, like the people, their heads would begin to swell and they would like, they would tear their hair out just to try and balance the pressure. The horrible, horrible thing. And sometimes that's how I feel in class.
Okay. Like, gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is all some horrible, diabolical Nazi experiment that's being run on me at times. You never feel that way?
Not too often, no.
All right. Yeah. So I hope, Marcus, that answered the question. So basically, long and short, you're screwed?
Is that, yeah.
Okay, you're screwed.
Long and short of it, yeah. Get a phone here.
Yeah, okay.
Theoretically, it would be possible to change the chip, but
okay.
That's like more hassle than it would really be worth.
All right. But that LG chocolate, is that a nice phone?
Oh, yeah, very fancy. Whenever my students get one, they really show it off, especially the ones that have the chocolate too.
Is it chocolate colored?
Yeah, it's brown.
Does it look like a chocolate bar?
Maybe to a Korean child who, you know, I don't know. Yeah. It looks like a phone.
Okay, then, that's our show. I hope that answered your question, Marcus. Send us email at gokorea@gmail.com and check us online, www.gokorea.info. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, sorry, guys, I mentioned Thursday. You thought we were bye-bying, but we're not. Like, my kids are always like, you know, they think they can say bye-bye, and that automatically releases them from class.
Yeah.
You know, but no. Do you say bye-bye, or do I say bye-bye? I say bye-bye. Now sit. You sit.
Yeah.
I say bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, they get really mad, and I call them back to the class so I can release them.
Oh, Thursday is a holiday, Buddha's
That's
birthday.
That's right, I forgot. Oh my God. Oh yeah, one of my students told me it was Jesus' birthday.
Jesus' birthday. Jesus, Buddha. So they're all
whatever.
Yeah.
Some sort of religious icon or another.
Exactly. They're all very rich guys who cast off all their worldly goods. Buddha was rich and cast off his worldly goods. Jesus was a professional. He was a carpenter. He gave it up. Yeah, so yeah. There's a lot of parallels there.
Yeah. Sorry, one of my teachers, I have to tell one more story before we go, since you sort of brought it up.
Okay.
One of my coworkers was in Insadong not too long ago.
Okay.
And is confronted by some people in alien costumes. Alien costumes. Passing out literature.
All right.
For their church.
Cool.
They're Raelians.
Ah, good, the Raelians.
Yes, which if you haven't heard of Raelians, they believe that people are clones of aliens.
Yeah.
And they're waiting for the aliens to come and take them back to space.
The mothership.
Which I think, you know, they're in space already.
Yeah.
But so to further their cause and to make people see that, you know, they're a really sensible religion, they were wandering around in alien costumes, passing out literature.
Right, yeah.
And apparently their symbol is a Star of David superimposed on a swastika.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because that's two great tastes that taste great together.
Exactly.
And I will grant you, the swastika is an ancient symbol. Yeah. It is not, you know, Hitler appropriated it for his own dastardly needs, but still.
Looks
you
a little
know.
Weird. Yeah.
You have to sort of take these sort of things into consideration when creating a symbol for your church, I think.
It's Canadians, you know. The Raelians are Canadians.
Except for the clone doctor, who was Korean.
Yeah, that's why they're big in Korea. They made a lot of traction in Korea. I knew there was some little Korean connection. I couldn't figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, a while back, 5 or more years ago, they claimed to have cloned a child, but they would not offer any proof whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just had to take it on faith.
Yeah. It turned out it was just a media hoax. They were just trying to get, and they got all the publicity they could ever desire.
And it was great. The leader of the church, Rael, which you have to like a guy who names a church after himself.
Yeah.
He looked something like would have fit in with Vincent Price or, you know.
Right. He's a hippie. Just this long-haired French-Canadian hippie.
Yeah, and the woman is totally Elvira.
Yeah.
Like Elvira's mutton sister.
Right.
You know?
Celine Dion that has just dried up in the sun, basically. Like.
And put on about 18 pounds of makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never seen the Raelians here, but I knew they had their adherence. Scientology, oddly, is not really a big thing here. Of all the places Scientology is not wound up in, I don't know why Scientology doesn't make any headway here.
I don't know. I'm sure as soon as like a celebrity that's really popular here becomes one, then it'll become more trendy.
Thin edge of the wedge, yes.
Yeah.
Get like Rain, they could get him?
Yeah, that's all they need.
Exactly. He became a Scientologist.
Get Rain and Ihori.
Alright. Okay, that is really our show.
Okay.
Alright. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.